I'm sure you all know what we're going to speak about tonight. Our brother John read that well-known portion in the Word of God about Naaman. Now, I have seven simple things to leave with you tonight, and time is going on, and we just trust that God will help us in this gathering. Naaman, if we've been about this time of the year, he'd been on our television screens, and we've been seeing him. He was a great man. First thing I want to look at was his position. What was his position? Well, he was captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was a great man with his master. He was also an honourable man. For it says in the Word of God there, and a wonderful verse, it says, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. Some people think that maybe it was Naaman's arrow that was used to slay Ahab, that man that shot the bow at a venture. Not absolutely certain about that, but some commentators think that it was maybe Naaman's arrow that was used of the Lord to give deliverance to Syria. And you know, he was a mighty man in valour. This was a man, if you're out in a fight, you'd want to be with. For he was a man who was a mighty man in valour. If it stopped there, it'd be a great picture. But you know, as someone says, but spoils many a great story. And you know, at the end of that little verse, it says, but he was a leper. And that's his problem. You know, no matter what your position is in this meeting tonight, each one of us has got a problem. We're born in sin, and we're shaping in iniquity, and in sin did our mother conceive us. We're born in the wrong road, and we haven't to do any great sin to go to a lost eternity. We're born in the way that leads to destruction. And here with this man, and he had a problem, and he was a leper. And the leprosy that Naaman had was incurable. It was incurable. You know, leprosy is a terrible thing. We've heard about it many a time, even through our brother, Dr. Woods, about the leprosy, and he has done a great job under God out in the land of Brazil. And you know, we read in Leviticus, and we'll not turn up to it for the sake of time, and 13 and 45 and 46, that they had to go and cry unclean, unclean. And also there's a reference to it in 2 Chronicles 26, 19, 20 and 21. Unclean. And you know, leprosy is a type and would equate with sin. Separates us from our friends and will eventually separate us from God for all eternity. Leprosy is a terrible thing. It causes deformity. You see the photographs of leprosy. It causes deformity. How like sin. It causes dismembership. You know, you see some of the poor people and they've lost members of their body, parts of their body. It causes defiguring. Defigures their body. Sin is the same. When you see the poor people, maybe, the newspaper and the news, and sin has taken them down. Just looking at the Daily Mail the other day, and binge drinking is a terrible thing across the water. A young girl sitting on the side of the street and she's drunk. Terrible how sin takes men and women and young people down. Sin is a terrible thing. And you know the end of sin is death. Naaman's leprosy was incurable. His position, his problem, or his plight. But you know he had a great privilege. What was his privilege? Well, he heard the message from a little maid. There was a little maid there, and she was carried away captive into that land. And you know, I was just thinking about it as I was preparing this little message. And you know, if it had been some of us, maybe we would have said, well, it serves Naaman right. I'm here in captivity. They've taken him away from my own land, and maybe this is God's judgment on him. But no. What did the little maid say? He had the privilege of hearing the message from the little maid. And what was it? Verse 3 of chapter 5. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, be with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. He hears the message of hope. And friend, you have heard the message of hope in this church over these past years. And indeed over these past months in this church, you have heard the message of salvation. You know the way of deliverance. You know you need to be saved. And here was Naaman, and he heard the message of hope. It was pointed to the prophet. He said, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that's in Samaria. Then he would recover him of his leprosy. He was assured of healing. He would recover him of his leprosy. And I want to tell you, friend, there's one who can save you. That's not the prophet of man, but it's the prophet of God, the one who came from heaven's glory, ever-living story. My Savior, God and King, and Jesus was his name. What has been your privileges over these last years? You've heard the message from your mother's knee, you've heard it. You've heard it in the Sunday school class. You've heard it in this church. You've had many privileges. What did Naaman do with those privileges? Well, he eventually accepted them. But there's another one here, his presumption. His presumption. And you know, he went to the wrong person. He got the message, but he went to the wrong person. Verse 5. And the king of Syria said, go to, I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. He set off with great hope in his breast. You can see him there with all. He had gathered up a great entourage and he set off. And he had a letter from the king from the king to the king of Israel, from the king of Syria. He had 10 talents of silver and he had 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. There's a lot of people like Naaman. A lot of people in this land like Naaman. They go to the wrong person. They go to the wrong person. They go with all their good points listed. And you know what it says in God's word, all our righteousnesses, all our very good points, they're only as filthy rags in God's sight. And they even want to pay. There's many people and they want to pay their way into heaven, but they can't do it. And they have many changes of raiment. Even at this time of the year, there's many people and they would turn over a new leaf. They'd make New Year's resolutions. But you know it's no good. He presumed he went to the wrong person. And then we see in number 5, his pride. What was his pride? Well, after he hears Elijah's message, he was angry. He didn't like it. He didn't like the message he received. And there's many, many a man and a woman and a boy and girl and they don't like the message they receive. Elijah sends out Gehazi, and that didn't please. He just sent the messenger out. And then he says, behold, I thought he would have come out himself, and he would have put his hand down over the place, and I'd recovered of the leprosy. He wanted to be healed in his own way. And then he said, are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters in Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? How like today? And there's many people, and they're their own way of getting to heaven. And you know, today it's sad. And there's people think, if they're sincere, if they go to church, if they do the best they can, and that's the way into heaven. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters in Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? But you know what the Lord says. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Acts 4 and verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And you know there's only one ark, and there's only one place of safety, and there's only one door into that ark, and there's only one place of safety today, and that's the person, and that's the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder what you're depending on this last Lord's Day of 2004. Are you depending on the church? Are you depending on a set of rules? Are you depending on something else to get you to heaven? There's no other way of deliverance apart from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, I think there's some people and they would like to get saved under certain men. I do believe the devil uses this to get people to procrastinate. They want to be saved under Dr. Paisley. They want to be saved under the Reverend McCrae. They want to be going to a great mission and a great moving. And the devil will say, don't you get saved tonight? Sure, there'll be a mission come along. There'll be meetings and you'll get saved there. And the devil takes them further down the road of life and wants to damn them in hell for all eternity. Naaman went away in a rage. He went away in a rage. You'll maybe not go away in a rage, but you'll just go away and put off God's plan of redemption for you again. But you know, his servants talked a bit of sense unto him. They said, if they had asked you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? And you know, there's many people who would do great things to get into heaven. But you know, the Lord has done it all for us. And we see in the sixth place is purification. When he accepted and obeyed Elijah's message, he was made anew. His flesh came as a little child. It says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. What a transformation. This man had an incurable disease. But you know, thank God, whenever he went down, he got a transformation. Where had he to go to? He had to go to Jordan. I understand Jordan means a descender. It means a descender. And you know, Naaman had to descend. How many times did he go down? 5? 6? No. He went down 7 times. He went down 7 times. He had to get down from his exalted position. He had to get down from his pride. He had to get down from his presumption. Like Zacchaeus, who was up the tree, he had to come down. He had to come down. You know, we're just hearing this morning about the Saviour coming down. In Philippians 2 and verse 5, our brother spoke about it this morning in God's house. Philippians 2 and verse 5. And what does it say there? The Saviour says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But what did he do? He made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also was highly exalted him, and given him a name that's above every other name, that name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, and things on earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And also in Hebrews 2 and verse 9, he was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Think of it, the one who had created the angels, and he was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He was a descender. He came down to where we were, that he might lift us up, and he might present us before his Father with exceeding great joy. And you know, Naaman had to become a descender. He had to get down of his high position. Don't let pride take you to hell, friend. Don't let anything take you to hell, but come tonight and trust in the person and in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last thing we want to look at tonight, where time is going on very quickly, his possession or his profession. There's an old fellow used to be about Collybacky. Some of our people maybe would know him. He was Jasper McGowan. And he was going into that church at the corner there, the Cunningham Memorial. And there was a fellow there that our brother was talking about this morning, and he had on a lot of garters and things around him. And he said, I'm Professor so-and-so. But Jasper McGowan says, I'm Possessor McGowan. And he had got salvation through the blood of the Lamb. And you know, here was Naaman, and his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He had also a profession, for it says in verse 15, and we didn't read it, verse 15 of 2 Kings chapter 5. And what does it say in verse 15? And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God on all the earth but in Israel." There is no God on all the earth but in Israel. You know, there's a wee reference to Naaman found in the New Testament. It's found in Luke 4 and verse 27. Luke 4 and verse 27. And the Lord was speaking here. And what does it say? Many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed saving Naaman the Syrian. You know, it's God's prerogative to save. But friend, you must come. All has been done for your deliverance. Provision has been made for your salvation. But you must come. You know, if Naaman would have went away, he could have dipped in a banna and farther until he was came to the end of the journey. But he would never have been delivered from his leprosy. There's only one place of deliverance, friend. There's only one way of salvation. And I trust that even tonight you'll be found coming and trusting in the person and in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, are you going to be like Naaman, delivered and healed and set free? Are you going to be among the many who go away? There's many who go away from Christ. They go away from the place of deliverance. They go away from the only Redeemer of God's light. They turn their back upon him and they go away. And there's no in-between position, friend. You're either saved or you're unsaved. You're either on your way to heaven or your way to hell. You're either under God's smile through Christ or you're under the condemnation of God, as it says in John 3 and verse 36. How is it with you tonight? You've heard the gospel preached from this pulpit faithfully through God's servant, far better than I could ever attempt to bring a word. But friend, how is it with your soul? Tonight, as this year is fast going out into eternity, what are you going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? That wee verse often comes to me. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? All you have to do to go to hell is just neglect God's plan of redemption. I often tell the Sunday school class, you could know all about the bus routes to Coleraine or Ballymena. You could know the times of the buses. You could know the way they travel. You could know the driver. But if you never come and you're on that bus, you'll never reach the destination. And you could know all about salvation. You could know you need to be saved. You hope to be in heaven someday. But you're just neglecting. You're putting it off. You're just saying, I'll get saved some other time. I trust that tonight you'll not put it off one day longer. But even tonight, while the Spirit and mercy is pleading, you'll steer for the harbour light. For how do you know what your soul could be drifting? We trust not over the deadline tonight. Naaman, his position. Naaman, his problem, and each one of us have got that problem of sin. Naaman, his privilege, and you have had privileges over many years. His presumption, his pride, his purification, and his possession. Oh, I trust that each soul will go away from this house tonight with a possession, with a possession of new life in their soul, with a profession that they're on their way to heaven. And if anything would happen to them along the road, they'll be with Christ, which is very far better. May the Lord bless this wee word to all your hearts tonight. May some precious soul hear above the voice of the speaker and come in simple faith and accept the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ for his name's sake. Amen.